Our passage in Matthew chapter 24 is a familiar passage for a lot of people. But it's also a passage that is used incorrectly by many as describing the rapture of the church. And as I stated a couple of times, the rapture of the church is not to be found in Matthew chapter 24 or 25. This is the Olivet Discourse. It deals primarily with the nation of Israel and the people living in tribulation times. The church will have already been raptured. So it's not in Matthew chapter 24. We will get there in just a second. It is a passage, though, that does have a relationship to Israel's history. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 16 before we get to our passage to study. Matthew chapter 16, and I want to consider the first four verses. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, and that would be tempting Jesus, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. I'm going to share that this is the epitome of hypocrisy by them. You'll see why in just a second. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites. Well, there Jesus right away is calling them hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Here are things that are right in front of you that you can see, but things that are a little bit more distant, you're blind to. You have spiritual myopia, nearsightedness. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. It was hypocritical for them to ask for a sign, because already Jesus had performed oodles of signs before them, of healing the sick, of raising the dead, changing water into wine, various things along those lines. Supernatural events that proved his deity, and they would not accept it. In fact, in Matthew chapter 12, they said he's doing these things by the power of Beelzebub. They attributed Jesus' ability to do miracles to Satan himself. So if they're asking for another sign, they have no intent of accepting it. They were hoping that somehow he couldn't do it and they would have something to bring accusation against them. But he says, a wicked and adulterous generation. Here this word generation, once again, does not necessarily confine itself to a period of time, but a group of people. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. That's you guys. And you're only going to get one. It's the sign of the prophet Jonah. And what was that? Well, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and nights, so the Son of Man shall be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights, then he's going to be resurrected. Guess what most of the Jews would do with that sign? We don't accept it. Now, fortunately, there were some who would be converted by it. But they really had no need for a sign. They weren't going to accept it. And this is going to happen again in tribulation times. Now we are ready for Matthew chapter 24. And this familiar passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 37. And I want to read it and make some notations, and then we'll go back and look at it in detail. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not. If you make notes in your Bible, here's a good place to make one. The words knew not. Circle them, underline them, use your highlighter, do whatever. It's important. And that's what I said to you earlier, Linda, about knowing that they let you know. They knew not. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So also shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not. There it is again. What hour your Lord doth come. But know this, third time, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch or what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would have suffered his house, or not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. This passage is really centering on knowledge that the tribulation people should have, but refused to understand. And that was the nation of Israel in Jesus' day. They saw all the signs. And remember, there are going to be a lot of signs prior to the second advent of Christ. And the people didn't know what they were. Now let's look at it in detail. Back to verse 37. But as the days of Noah were. Well, what were the days of Noah? I want you to keep your finger here. Turn back to Genesis chapter 6. And allow the Bible to tell us what the days of Noah were like. Genesis 6, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. This is a passage of Scripture that there is considerable debate as to what it is, how to interpret it. I do not have time tonight to go into the various interpretations and which one I believe is correct. That's a whole sermon or two by itself. But I can say this with certainty, that whatever it is that's going on here, God was not pleased with it. We know that. He was striving with flesh. God doesn't strive with those that he's pleased with. Verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Here is mankind living, not thinking one good thing at all. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. It was interesting this morning in our prayer time before Sunday school. Roy was saying to me about preachers who talk about different verses like the Lord repenting and never give an explanation. And I said to Roy, it's interesting that you would bring that up because I'm going to be speaking about that in Genesis chapter 6 tonight, and I am not going to say what it means. basically, God didn't change his mind. God changed his heart. He was grieved that he repented, that man was made, and he's going to wipe man out. Why? Because man was perverse. There was the perversity of sin. The thoughts of man's hearts were continually evil. Second, in the days of Noah, there was the persuasion of Noah and his family. According to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Okay? Man, perverse, sinful, things that are not right. Noah, a preacher of righteousness. He is going to confront the world with their sin. He is going to confront the world with the penalty of their sin. Without question, Noah was going to tell the world that the judgment of God was coming upon man because man is a sinner. So there was a vocal witness that Noah had to persuade people. There was a visual witness of the coming judgment of God. There was an ark that Noah was building. I want to use a little bit of hopefully sanctified imagination and see if you can use yours and go along with me. Here's Noah one day, and he says to his son, "Son, go for wood." And they go get a wood, a bunch of wood, chop down some trees. And they start building this thing out in the backyard. And the neighbor comes along, "Hey, Noah, what you doing?" "I'm building a boat." "Why are you building the boat?" "It's going to rain. And the ground's going to open up. And the whole earth is going to be flooded." "Rain? What's that?" "Water's going to come down out of the sky like it's never done before." "Noah, are you nuts? Science tells us that that doesn't happen." "Well, God told me it will." "Well, who are you going to believe? The scientists who are here, or this God that's out there?" "Scientists know what's going on, but does God know what's going on?" "No, we believe in things that we can see and test. Yours is just faith." Noah said, "But God doesn't lie. And I'm going to build this boat. By the way, there'll be room in it for you." So he starts building. In day two, he's building. In day three, he's building. In year two, he's still building. "Noah, what you doing? You still building that boat?" "Yep, but it hasn't rained." "When do you think this is going to happen?" Noah says, "I don't know when it's going to happen, but all I know is God told me to build a boat, and it's going to be a biggie. And everything's going to die, but this boat will take care of us, and there's room enough in it for you. Won't you come along with me?" Gotta be kidding. And year after year after year, and the boat gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And the people are looking out and saying, "That crazy old guy. Still out there after 100 years, he's still building that thing. It still hasn't rained. It's never going to happen." And they keep on building, and Noah keeps on inviting, and no one keeps coming. He had a visual witness. And one day the boat's finished. "Hey, he finally stopped working on that thing. I wonder when it's going to start raining." Never. He had a vacated witness. Drop on down to chapter 7, verse 4. God speaking to Noah after the ark is finished. "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." Drop down to verse 10. "And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth." Noah got in the boat, and he was in the boat for 7 days before the rain started. And those neighbors of his probably, Look at that. They're all getting in the boat. They shut the door. And the sun is shining. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. That guy's an idiot. Day two, the sun is still shining. And day three, the sun is still shining. And all those animals are in there. And the people are saying, man, I wouldn't want to be in there. All those smelly animals. Those people are nuts. And then all of a sudden, day seven, here's this drop of rain. And another drop of rain. And a lot of drops of rain. What happened? Too late. The vacated witness was passed. Oh, by the way, there was another person who was vacated that witnessed against him. Enoch, Noah's great-grandfather. He prophesied of a coming judgment and had a testimony before the Lord, and his testimony was so good that the Lord translated him, took him out of the judgment. Noah's a type of Israel that will be protected going through the judgment, but Enoch's a type of the church that was translated before the judgment. And they had these witnesses that, hey, God doesn't like sin. And they wouldn't listen to it. They thought they knew better. There was the perversity of sin, the persuasion of Noah and his family. There was the prophecy of Methuselah. When Enoch gave birth to, actually his wife did too, Methuselah, he gave him a name of prophetic importance. His name means when he is gone, it shall be sent. And it's interesting if you do a little study in Scripture and count up the days of how old a person was when their son was born and so on and so forth. The very year that Methuselah died is the year the flood came. A prophetic name. Now here's Methuselah. He has a little more sanctified imagination. They say when he's dead, this judgment's coming. He's never going to die. 600 years old, 700 years old, 800 years old, 900 years old. He's still going strong. It's not coming. 969 years. And old Methuselah passes away. Did it rain the first day? The answer is, well, we don't know for certain, but I doubt it. But that very year, it rained. Then there was the practice of the people. Come back to Matthew chapter 24. Verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered in the ark. Eating, you got to do that. Drinking, you got to do that in order to survive. Marriage, instituted by God in order to propagate the species. Got to do that. All these things were good things. I like what Warren Wiersbe said, though. He said, and let me find it here, they lost the best by living for the good. They had a chance to get in the ark and survive. But they were more concerned about the everyday things of living. It was just another day in paradise for them. Just going about their daily business. Now, they had to go about their daily business, but going about the daily business with no concern whatsoever what was going to happen tomorrow. They couldn't see, they couldn't know that judgment, well, they wouldn't know that judgment was coming. And Jesus is saying, just like that, it's going to be in tribulation days. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Those that are taken away are taken in judgment. Those that are left to repopulate the earth, just as Noah and his family were left behind to repopulate the earth then. So it's going to be at the coming of the Son of Man. There shall be two in the field. Well, what are they doing in the field? Oh, they're just outstanding in their fields. But I'm bum. Well, you have to eat. How are you going to eat? Well, we'll go to Giant Eagle. There were no Giant Eagles. No Shop and Saves. No Piggly Wigglies. They went out in the field and they were growing things and harvesting things so they could eat. And there will be two out there. One shall be taken in judgment. One shall be left behind. You know what that tells me? That even those that are saved during the tribulation will be living life just as normal as taking place. Two shall be at the mill. What are they doing at the mill? Well, they took the grain that they harvested and were making flour out of it. That you have to do. Common, ordinary things of life. And that's how it's going to be. Now, notice the command in verse 42. For Jesus' day. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Again, the specific day, the specific time is unrevealed. But you need to be on the lookout for it. Not only that, but verse 43 says this, but know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch or what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be also ready. That's a command. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. You need to watch and you need to be ready. He uses the illustration of a person who has a house, who's the master of a house, probably a slave that was given oversight of the master's belongings. Apparently a crime wave has hit the city and someone's coming at night to break in. If the master of the house knew exactly when the thief was coming, he would do two things. He would be watching for him, and he would be prepared for him. His security system of Smith & Wesson would be ready to go. Why? Because if you don't have any type of security system, the man's going to come in, and he's going to rob you blind. So it's first of all necessary to be ready. But secondly, it's necessary that you watch. You get the security system, but if you don't arm it, if you're not watching for the thief to come, what good does it do? Sleeping with gun in hand. And the thief comes. And while you're sleeping, you get robbed blind. What's in the house? What is it that they're breaking up? The consequences of this, that everything that God has supplied for living and its enjoyment is in jeopardy of being lost. What do you have in your house? Well, I've got a recliner. Because when we leave here tonight, I'm going to go home, lay back in my recliner, turn on the TV, and watch the Perry Mason movie. Love the Perry Mason movies. I will probably promptly fall asleep and then wake up to go to bed. Man, if they took my recliner, I'd be at a loss. If they took my TV, I'd be at a loss. If they took my refrigerator, I'd be at an even bigger loss because I'm going to get a snack to watch TV to fall asleep upon. But you have all these things in your house that are for the benefit of living, the things that you need, and the things that make life enjoyable. Spiritually speaking, what's in our houses? The life that God gives us and the opportunity for eternal life. And if the watchman or the good man in the house is not prepared in tribulation times, he's not watching in tribulation times, Jesus is going to come. Life physically is going to end and the opportunity for eternal life will be eternally lost. That's what he's saying here. Because you knew not. You saw the signs. Can't be that. And you went about his life just another day in paradise. Now, I started by saying the rapture is not in Matthew 24, but an application of it is. It is the next prophetic event for us. There is no revelation given as to its exact time. We don't know. The early church expected it in their day. It didn't come. If they expected it 2,000 years ago, how much more might it come today? We should be even more expecting of it. And while there are no supernatural signs that will indicate the rapture is coming, they are for the tribulation, for the second advent, there are some characteristics that will describe the last days of the church age. They're found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And that's where I'll close. This know seems to be the emphasis of Matthew chapter 24. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, certainly that's not happening today, is it? Covetous. That's not happening today, is it? Boasters. That's not happening today. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Kids today are just the best they've ever been. Except Sue's. I take that back. Where was I? Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Guess what they mean by natural affection? A man for a woman or a woman for a man. His natural affection. A man for a man, a woman for a woman is unnatural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures. Now, there's nothing wrong with pleasure, except when it's more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, religious in its outward appearance, but denying the power thereof, not built upon biblical absolutes. From such turn away, for of this sort they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Oh, they know lots of stuff, have degrees mounted up. But when they look at biblical truth, they, can't be. Are we living in those days? How long will they last? Scripture doesn't tell us. But I do think that we need to take the admonition that's given to the people of the tribulation to be ready and to watch. How can we be ready? By knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. That's all that's necessary. But watching. if I believe that he could come tomorrow, what should my responsibility be to those that I love? Make sure they're going with me. If I believe that he's coming within a week, what else would be my responsibilities? Not only to make sure that they're going with me, but to make sure that they are watching as well and leading their loved ones to be with them. We need to be watching. We need to be ready. And when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall still go on, that was my Sunday school question this morning, we will rejoice, having accomplished all. Father, we thank you for the fact that even in the things that we do not know, you give us clues to be able to discern the things that we do need to understand. While we may not know what day, what hour, what month, even what year, that trumpet will sound and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. We don't know that. Yet as we look around, we see that it could be today. In fact, we know it could be today. Father, I pray that all who hear these words will be found ready and watching, redeeming the time, for the days are evil, that we might make the best use of time so that we can enjoy eternity to its fullest. To this end, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.